Hey guys, this is Pastor Matt. Thank you for taking the time to come and check out The Edge podcast. I would love to have you come and visit us one Tuesday night at The Edge at 7:30 p.m. in the Student Center of Griffin First Assembly. For more information, you can visit us online at griffinedge.org. I hope that today's message ministers to your heart, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Let's go on ahead and get prepared for the reading. We will be diving in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37, and we are going to go right there. Let's open up with a word of prayer just for the Lord to speak clearly through tonight's message. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this message that you have prepared. God, we just open our minds, we open our hearts, and we just release all distractions to stay calm and speak tonight, and just let your will be done here, God, tonight. And we thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. If you do not, it's going to come up here on the screens for you. So let's begin our reading here in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied. As he commanded me, and breath entered them, they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Wow. Pretty awesome, right? Pretty significant, pretty cool thing that bones just holy moly shook together and came to life, and a body came from them all over the place. And we're going to get into understanding that here in a moment. But I want to kind of take you back to the moment of really what's taking place. God has called his people, the Jews, out of captivity in Egypt. And the thing is that they were actually in captivity for over 100 years. And then God finally has brought them to the place of bringing them out of captivity and placing them into the promised land. He has given them back a king. He has given them back a land. And they are now becoming a healthy nation once again. Whenever I think about this story and I really take it in and start thinking about our own lives, I believe that there are certain seasons in life that we all go through. That we go through seasons of seeking God, and then we also go through seasons of shunning God and putting him far away, putting a stiff arm to him. But then there's moments that we seek him, right? But then it seems like the moment when everything gets fine, we begin to turn our backs on him. We get to a place of comfortableness. Whenever we get to this place of comfortableness, we're like, man, everything is going great. So what do? We turn our backs on God. And it is at the very moment that we turn our backs on God that we remove ourselves from out from under the hand of his protection and his blessings. And then what happens? Then we begin to see destruction taking place in the world, in our lives. We begin to see devastation. We begin to see loss. We even began to see death taken place, and even can possibly feel at times that we ourselves are in a position of feeling held captive. So here we are at this point where we finally see that there's too much devastation, there's too much loss in our lives, and too many things are going crazy, and we finally get to the point where we see, man, I can't do this on my own, right? I need God. I need him. And we recycle our seeking season. The awesome thing about God is that his grace is sufficient. Amen? And that his grace is so free and it's so loving and it's so awesome. And we don't deserve his grace so many times. But his grace is so awesome. He brings us He puts us back together. He takes us out of darkness and he places us into a promised land. He begins to give blessings back into our lives. So here we are. We have everything going for us, just like the Israelites did. They're back to restoration. They're back to life. They have been given back a land. They've been given back a king, and they've been given back their nation. And they're like, man, things are going great. We finally have everything back that we had been longing for, that we had been working for, that everything that we had ever known. And they get back to this place of getting comfortable again. And then they feel like what? We don't need God anymore. We can do this on our own. And once again, guess what happens? They turn their back again on God. So what do you think God does? He allows them to go back into captivity. So we remember this story a few weeks ago. Remember when we were talking about the life of Daniel? And we were learning about King Nebuchadnezzar. And here at this very moment is when King Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army come in and they begin to invade and they take over Israel. You remember this? They take over Israel. They begin to call people and they begin to pull Jews. And especially this is where we learned about Daniel, as they were pulling teenagers of the royal life and those that were, you know, handsome and smart and intelligent. They begin to pull all of these Jews and place them in captivity and were forced to serve under King Nebuchadnezzar's command and rule. So here is King Nebuchadnezzar and his army. They come and invade. They take over the Jews. And what happens? Here's Ezekiel left in a dead nation. He's looking around and everything is completely dead. Everything is completely gone. Even to the point where I'm sure that Ezekiel looks around and he feels like there is no life. There's no hope. He feels like, God, what is my purpose? Why am I even here? God, I'm just surrounded with nothing. I'm surrounded with chaos. I'm surrounded with problems. I'm surrounded with death. I cannot do this, God. And here is Ezekiel. God leads him down this road, and all of a sudden, Ezekiel faces something that he never thought that he would see. He comes upon a valley that God leads him to. This is not any normal valley. This is not a pretty valley that you can go and have a peaceful picnic by a stream. There's not a lot of life. It's dark. It's cold. And there's death in this valley. And as far as Ezekiel can see, thousands upon thousands of scattered dry bones. How many times in our lives have we personally felt like that we've been at a very good spiritual high, right? That we've got a lot of things going for us. Man, our relationships are going great. Our pursuit even for God is and to God and our relationship is going great. Our church attending is good on the attendance roster, right? Everything seems to be going great. And then what happens? The very moment that we lose focus and take our focus off of God, things begin to go south. We quickly began to realize and see that we are found in our very own valley surrounded by dry bones. There's no more support for us that we feel. There's no more love. There's no more life. There's no more purpose for us in our lives. So here is Ezekiel. He's placed in this valley. He's looking out and all that he sees are thousands upon thousands of scattered bones. We're not talking about a skeletal system here that is just kind of, no. We're talking about bones that have been scattered by animals, that you cannot even look and see what in the world is, what is this? Thousands upon thousands. He's looking out upon this valley, and immediately God gives him a vision as he is speaking to him. If we go to verse 11 and we see here, it says, then he said to me, talking about the Lord, son of man, Ezekiel, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. See, right here to Ezekiel, there seemed to be no rescue for Israel. There seemed to be no hope, right? If you were thrown into a valley and you're looking out and all that you see is no life whatsoever, and you just see thousands upon thousands of scattered bones, do you think that there's much hope going on? Not at all. How many of you ever saw the old movie back in the day with Will Smith? It was like I Am Legend or something like that. And something happened. I don't remember the whole story of everything, but he's left, right, in this city alone, and all that he has is his dog. And then there's, of course, all these demons and creatures and things as well. But here's Ezekiel, and he does not feel like there's a lot of hope for him. He's looking around, and he's like, help, right? The only person that's there is God, which is, you know, he's God. He's, you know, it's like, I'm still alone, right? So it'd be a pretty awkward place and pretty freaky as well, right? What would you do if you walked out and then out of nowhere in Griffin, you're like, whoa, right? Thousands upon thousands of bones, creepy, scary nightmares. So there seemed to be no rescue for Israel. And it was as if that every single body, God was trying to show Ezekiel that it was like every single one of those bones were the lost people of Israel. Every bone represented a lost soul that had turned their back on God. Maybe this reflects to some of us in here tonight. You feel like you are in a hopeless situation right now in your life. You feel like every time that you walk outside the door, you're presented in a new valley that is just presented, and there's nothing going for you. There's no one there for you. There's no one to listen to you. There's no one that you can call upon. It just seems like death is slapping itself in your face every single day. Everything has fallen apart. I want to let you know something tonight. God will never place you somewhere without there being a purpose and plan in it. God will always place you somewhere because he has a plan for you there and a plan in it and a plan for you. The thing that we have to do is we have to continually keep ourselves in an open position, in an open heart, for God to come through and to show us and to give us vision and hope in the process. So let's look here at verse 3 again, where the Lord is asking Ezekiel this question when he steps into this valley. Verse 3, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Wow, okay, what a crazy question, right? All right, what would your response be? What do you think Ezekiel's response would be? God is looking down upon Ezekiel, and he's saying, all right, Ezekiel, look here. Look at what you see. Do you think that there is life that can be breathed and spoken back into these lives, into these bodies, and they can become living beings again? All right, holy moly, I would be freaking out. First off, whenever I'm in the valley with thousands of scattered dry bones, I don't even know that I could even get a word out of my mouth. And then you're looking around, and all you see is you see, all right, well, God, there is a foot bone there. There's a head thing there. There's a leg there. God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what in the world my response would be, honestly. But here's Ezekiel, and God asked him this question. There's thousands of dry bones. There's no bodies of flesh, no life whatsoever. You know, there are many times, just like Ezekiel, that God places us in a valley. And he shows us all of our personal challenges, all of our circumstances, all of our problems that we think are so big, right? And just like he is pointing these out to Ezekiel, he's got you in a valley right now. He's got everything presented before you, and you're like, oh my gosh. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know when this is going to take place in my life. And God is looking directly at you and calling down from heaven, and he is asking you, Luis, David, Becca, can your marriage live? Can your relationships live? Can your career live? Can your faith in me live? Can your devastation live? Can your hurt live? Can your betrayal live? And he's asking you the same question to your heart in son, daughter. Can your dry bones come to life again? And all instead of opening ourselves up to the Savior in which all things are possible, we shut up. We just get to a moment of, right, just like I would get whenever I'm standing on this valley and I'm looking and I'm like, wow, look at all of these dry bones. Whoa. And I'm shaking. I could not even get a word out. But the same thing happens whenever we see our life junk, whenever we see our problems, whenever we feel like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Oh, my gosh, I've got this. It's too big. And we freak out, and then all of a sudden, God is calling upon our name. He's asking us questions. Can you live again? And we freeze because it's just too much. We shut up. We don't even respond. And then we get to the point in life of blaming him because of all of our problems. And all that we continually do is just we become the walking dead Christians, proclaiming that we're alive, presenting that we are alive. I want to let you know something, that you cannot pursue life and see fruit with a dead heart. You can't do it. You cannot have a life and see fruit while having a dead heart. It's not possible. Take this into consideration. Things that are dead produce nothing. So how in the world, if your heart is dead, is your heart going to produce anything? Okay? How in the world is, if your love is dead, how in the world are you going to give love? How in the world are you going to feel loved? If your faith is dead, then no wonder you don't have faith. Anything that is dead will produce nothing. You can't expect it to produce anything. And guys, I come from a very broken family. I come from devastation. I come from hurt. I come from being taken advantage of in all kinds of ways. And I know what it feels like. And I do understand that it is so challenging and that it is so hard to even think that there can be life in your dry bones, because it's so hard to look beyond life circumstances. I get it. I understand. But here is all of Israel dead. Dead. And Ezekiel is standing here upon an army of dry bones. And even though he can't see much hope, even though all that he sees is death, God still has a plan for him. And the awesome thing that I love about Ezekiel is he responds. Responds. Guys, sometimes in life, all that God wants from you is a response. But yet we get scared, because we feel like we don't know how to communicate to him. We're scared to respond, because sometimes we're even afraid of the answer that he will give us. And we begin to just remain in a paralyzed state, to where we're never moving beyond a valley of death. And then no wonder we are just having a life full of loneliness, full of hurt, full of betrayal, because if that's all that you're ever looking at, then that's all that your life is going to be. So here's Israel dead, and even though Ezekiel can't see much hope, he responds. And just like he responds, we have to quit ignoring God whenever we are under attack. Whenever your life is under attack, you have to communicate to him. You can't be scared, because you have to know that he is a God that wants to protect you, that is for you, he is not against you, and he's wanting the best for your life. So here is Ezekiel, and God asked him, hey, Ezekiel, can life come back into these bones? Here's Ezekiel's response. Blown away. Oh, sovereign Lord. I replied. Ezekiel replied. Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Holy stinking moly. Ezekiel's response was like, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't like, no, it wasn't any of that. It wasn't anything but, all right, God, I have no stinking clue. You are the only one that knows that. You know what I see right here is the awesomeness of Ezekiel. The awesome thing about him is, number one, is that he did not knock the possibility. Number two is that he knows that with God, all things are possible. Number three, he knows who has the power and who is in control. And number four, he releases the control and puts God in charge. All right, so whenever you are in a valley of dry bones in your own life and you feel like you can't see beyond anything, you feel like there's no hope, you feel like your life is at the end and you're just not going to get anywhere in life, number one, you cannot knock the possibility. You have to know that with God, all things are possible. And then also you have to know that the only power that is great enough to bring things to life in your life is the power of God. And then apart from that, you have to be willing to let go. You have to be willing to let go of the control and place it into God's hands and say, all right, God, you're in control. I give it to you. Because here's the truth. If God wants the dead bones to live, then the dead bones are going to come to life. The problem today is that there's too many walking dead Christians proclaiming that they're alive. And I believe that there are several things that bring dryness and death to our bones. And believe it or not, I believe that too many Christians fall into these categories. So some of the things that bring dryness and death. Number one, laziness. All right, I will be honest with you. I don't mind or have a problem with being lazy at all. I thoroughly enjoy it. I really love it whenever I am on my off day. I love being lazy. Okay? How many of you, anybody like being lazy? Come on now. Hey, it's all right. It's all right. I love it. You know, you don't even set your alarm clock. You're like, oh, praise God. You know, you just get to lay there and lay there and lay there and lay there and lay there. And I absolutely love that. Valor students don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about because you know what I'm talking about. One of the number one things, laziness. Here's the problem. There are too many people sitting around and expect everyone else to do ministry for and in the church. And also, here's the even bigger whammy. They expect others to fix their problems instead of doing the work themselves. They're expecting the preacher man to do it, right? Or Sister Sally or Sue, you know, or whoever. They expect others to be fixing their problems. Guys, you're never going to see life coming to your bones if you're expecting everybody else to do it for you. You're going to have to get busy. You're going to have to get into the Word of God. You're going to have to allow the breath of God to breathe inside of you so that you can have some life. Life hurts. Life is not fun. Life is hard. Life is challenging. I get it. I wear the t-shirt. But you have to get over it. You have to, because you have to know that God has a greater plan for you. He has a greater purpose for you, and He needs you more than you know. So here's the thing, is when you see a valley full of problems and death, it gets too overwhelming, right? And you're like, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I don't even know how in the world I'm going to say this. I don't know, God, right? And you start freaking out, and then what happens is you immediately think that it's too great for you. Well, guess what? Praise the Lord, you have spoken some truth because it is absolutely too great for you, but it's not too great for God. Your problems are not too great for God because you serve someone who is greater. You serve someone who is stronger. You serve someone who has the greatest power to help you overcome, and His name is Jesus. So right there is the truth, and it is great for you because the only way to bringing life to your valley is through a greater power. The number one thing, guys, that we have to realize is that we can't do it on our own. We cannot live life on our own. We cannot fight our battles on our own. We cannot see things come to life on our own. The thing is that God's not going to do it all for you, though. You have to do the work yourself. Guys, if God wanted you to just sit around and do nothing, then he would have called you up to glory the moment that He saved you. It's like, all right, God, I accept you into my heart. Thank you for saving me. I accept you. I'm yours and you're mine. Amen. Wow. Wouldn't that be crazy? Maybe that's why churches are so full of people. Just joking. Okay. Sorry. Just joking. That was a low blow. I'm sorry. So sorry. He wants to bring life to your dry bones. He needs you to help bring life to all the dry bones surrounding you as well. He needs you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the question, can you live? Yes. Yes. As soon as you get off of your tailbone and get busy and get moving and start doing the work yourself and believing in yourself and believing in God, believing that with God all things are possible and that in Him you can accomplish everything that you set your mind to. Nothing is too great for God. Number two, blame or accusing others. Now, I know that none of us in here experience this, and none of us do this, and none of us have ever done this, because we are such awesome, loving, A-plus Christians. But I believe that, number two, one of the things that can really bring dryness and death to our bones is accusing others. Whenever we see all of the dry bones surrounding us and we're looking at these face-to-face, we start pointing the finger and accusing others because of that problem. You say, Yeah. You see this area right here in my life? Yeah, that's because of him. That's because of her. You know why I fell away from God? It's because of this person. It's because that this person ran me out of church. You know why I don't have passion for God anymore? And you start pointing the finger at others, never taking responsibility for your own actions. The circumstances that we are in are all because of someone else. Number three, gossip or lying. Guys, I'm sorry, but my best friends are not gossipers. What is a gossiper? Pretty much is that they put their mouth into motion before their brain into gear. And they begin to run their mouth about anything and everything, right? Does anybody know someone? No? Really? It's awesome. You're sitting next to them? Yep. I knew it. Guys, in order to see life, we have to take away our tongue from the devil and give it over to the Holy Spirit. You have to remove yourself from under the rule, the command of Satan, and things that you listen to and things that you watch and things that you're feeding your soul. Because, guys, what did they say? What comes in comes out. And so if all that you're doing is you're rolling in your car thinking like you're riding fancy, right? And you got your music going, whatever it is, you know, you've got, I'm not even going to go there because I don't even know the current music that's out there right now because I just don't listen to it. But if all that you're doing is you're filling yourself with lies, with darkness, with death, then guys, that's all that you're going to be seeing in your life. That's all that you're going to be speaking. That's how you're going to be treating others. And it's time for us to take our tongue away from the devil and give it over to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. All right, number four, our desires, or pretty much our lack of desire for God. The thing that happens with us is whenever we start seeing dryness and death in our lives and we're wondering why in the world we cannot oversee these things because they're too great, there's too many of them, is because our desires have become more on earthly things. Our desires for this world has begun to suffocate our desire for God. And we're wondering where our passion has gone for God. Our marriage is dry. My relationship is dry. My family is dry. My friendships are dry. My passion for others is dry. Our life has withered up because we have fallen away from the Word of God, which brings water to our soul. Guys, the number one thing that you have to be diving into in order for you to have life is His Word. You have to dive into His Word, and you have to open yourself. As you open up the Word, you need to be opening up your heart, opening up your mind and saying, all right, God, here I am. God, I'm opening myself up. God, please speak life into me today. Whatever area you might feel like there is death in your life, whatever area you feel like there are challenges in your life right now, why don't you open up the book, the only book, the Word of God, and say, God, even though I feel like there is death in my marriage right now, God, I pray in the name of Jesus and I speak life into my marriage. God, I pray that you will breathe life into my marriage. But right, there's too many problems because we're standing on this valley and all that we see is this. We see the betrayal. We see whatever has taken place from our marriage, that our spouse falling into alcohol. There's the bone there. We see right here, oh my gosh, the affair. We see all of these different bones and we're like, no. Too much, right? Too much. And what do? We shut up. We don't even respond to God. We don't even open ourselves up for Him to pour life into us. Because we're afraid that we're going to get hurt again. God will grant you the desires of your heart. God knows the desires of your heart because He's placed them there. And He will grant you those desires as long as He is the first desire over them all. So can you live? Yes. When in the valley, you immerse yourself daily in His word. In the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Right there, the unfolding of His word, guys. Whenever you are in a situation, whenever you are in crisis, don't run from the word, run to the word. And His words will unfold before you. And guys, right there, it says that it will give light into your darkness. It will bring life into your dead heart, into your dry bones. And the awesome thing is it says that it will give you understanding that surpasses all understanding, even to the most simple things in your life. You will never see light. You will never have understanding when you separate yourself from His word. Number five, greed. The heart that wants more than it gives will die quicker than the heart that gives more than it wants. You see, the problem is that too many Christians want, right? They want everything. And that's okay because I want everything. You know, there's certain people that have anything and everything of materialism, and I'm like, I want this so bad, right? I want a boat. I want a motorcycle. I want a four-wheeler. I want a big truck. It makes big noise with big tires that whenever I roll on the road, it makes big, rough noise, right? I want a lot of stuff, guys. It's a lot to have. It's fine to want to have a lot of things. But here's the problem is that we get to God and we want from God. And we say, God, I want this. God, I want that. And then here's the funny thing. Then we say, God, I promise you, if you give me this, I will do this, right? Right? I know you guys have done it. Don't you dare. I got you. Trapped, handcuffed. Got you. Got it. But for real, we get into this place of God where all that we're doing is we're asking and wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting more from Him. And sadly enough, this is as deep as their prayers go. That is as deep as your prayer life goes. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I want this. God, I want that. So how do you bring life to your dry bones? Seeing that prayer is a relationship with God. You have to have a relationship with God in your prayer life. You have to see that it involves not only asking, but giving thanks to Him, giving praise to Him, giving adoration to Him and to His name, and worshiping Him even through the hard times in life. Praising Him through your storm. How in the world are you going to get out of your storm if you're not praising Him in it? In Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, it is what? More blessed to give than to receive. So I believe that there are two types of bones that can never get weak in your body. And I know that this is kind of out there, but I don't care. But I personally believe that there are two bones that you cannot allow to get dry and to get weak. The first bone is your backbone. You cannot bend to the world, but you have to stand firm on His word. Too many people are bending to the pressure of this world to the point where it is knocking them off of their not so firm foundation. Because they are choosing to stand more on the earthly things and build their hope upon what in the world is this, instead of on the solid rock. And then they're wondering why they're falling. They're wondering why they're losing focus. They're wondering why they're crumbling to the ground and that they feel like all the world is crumbling around them. Well, yeah, don't you think you would if you're standing on a sinkhole full of darkness and death? When the Holy Spirit brings convictions upon you, you have to do two certain things. How many of you have ever been doing something questionable? You know what I'm talking about. It may be anything. Or whatever it is, you're in a situation and you're doing something and you feel a conviction come upon your heart, right? And you're like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, or maybe I shouldn't go here, or whoops, did I just do that, right? And then you have this conviction filling, all right? I believe that there's two things that whenever the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon you, you have to do. Number one is you have to acknowledge and know what they are. Number two is that you have to stand on them with the Word of God and with His power. Guys, if you're wanting to see death and darkness leave your life, you have to start using the power of God, which is His Word, living and active and breathing inside of you. Whew. The Christian with a backbone won't live their life to please the world. They stand for what they believe. The second bone is the knee bone. Realizing that victory only comes through a life of prayer. Victory is only going to come whenever you're upon your knees with God, seeking Him, because there's no success without Him. It just all fades away. Remember this, much prayer equals much power. Little prayer equals little power. No prayer equals no power. If you feel like you are powerless, it's because you are worshiping a powerless God. You're worshiping idols and things of this world, things in this world. If you want to feel like and know like you have the most power that you could ever want, seek the face of God, the Almighty. One thing that I know and that I love about Ezekiel is that he had a heart for the lost. Here he is, he's standing in this valley and he is looking over all of these dry, scattered, dead bones. And he sees these bones as individual lost people of Israel who have turned their backs on God. Guys, every single day, whenever we leave our house, whenever we step out of our car, whenever we go into work, whenever we go into school, guys, we are walking into a valley full of dry bones. Guys, everywhere that you go, you are walking into a valley full of dry bones. You are walking into a valley full of lost and dead and hurting people who have turned their backs on God. So the answer to can these bones live again? The answer is yes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And He has given you new life. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Guys, you will continually feel lost until you have a heart for the lost. It's not all about us. Ezekiel could have taken himself to the moment of, God, what in the world is going on? Oh my gosh, God, I have no clue what's going on. God, pitiful me, God. Come, God, I need this, I need that, I need this, God. I need you to rescue me here, God. But no, what did he do? He didn't focus so much on himself. He was looking out at a valley full of dry bones and dead. God speaks to him, and instead of running, he responds. He opens himself up. So God gives Ezekiel a twofold plan. So how did he and how do we speak life into dry bones as we're coming to a wrap here? Number one, through the Word. In verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 37, God tells him to preach to these dead, dry bones. Verse 4 says, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Wow. Okay, holy moly. All right, first off, if I'm standing and looking at just a bunch of bones, and God tells me to speak to these bones. First off, I'm going to be like, that's weird. Second off, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to totally be looked at weird. I'm going to be made fun of. I'm going to be called all kinds of crazy names. God, there's no way I'm going to do this. But the fact is that it did not matter because Ezekiel knew the God that he served. Guys, do the things that really are messing you up and bringing you down, do they really matter? For real, do they really matter? Some of these things are just so tiny and so little. And guys, we take our eyes off what really matters. And you've got to believe and trust and know that even through the hard times in your life, even when you're down, even when you're hurting, you've got to trust and know that God is going to help you. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the words. He's going to give you the power to overcome and bring life back into your dry bones. So here's what's up. Ezekiel starts speaking, and then all of a sudden something happens right before his very own eyes in verse 7. So I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. Could you imagine being Ezekiel and standing there, and all of a sudden as you were speaking to these dry bones, that just the ground begins to shake, and all kinds of dust starts flowing, and then you start seeing this bone scoot all the way over here, and you start seeing these bones coming together, and they're forming a body. And you're like, what in the world's going on? And you're seeing all of this happen right before your very own eyes. Wow. I was blown away, at least whenever I read it. All right, so here he is in verse 7. He spoke this message, and just as he told me, suddenly the ground began to shake, the rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies. So right here, now laying before Ezekiel, is not a bunch of scattered bones. It is stinking bodies that are just laying there with flesh on them back again. But here they are. It's just a bunch of corpses. It's just bodies, but no life. So what is the first plan of God? He wants to bring life to dead bones. He wants to give life to hopeless Christians. He wants to give life to the lost who have never trusted. So if you're in here tonight and you are struggling and you are saying, Pastor Matt, I am in a valley full of dry bones. I don't see much hope. I don't believe that there's hope for me. I don't believe like there's a purpose for me. I don't even know what I'm called to do. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of searching. I'm tired of feeling lost. And I am tired of hurting. Guys, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. There is breath from heaven that God longs to breathe into your dry bones tonight. But you have to open yourself up and say, God, I need you. So the question, how do you bring faith to a life of dead bones? Some of you in here tonight, you might feel like your faith is gone because your heart is dead. Your soul is dead. Your passion for God is dead. So, Pastor Matt, how in the world do I even bring life to my dry bones whenever I'm dead? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. It's that simple. You have to listen to the voice of God. You have to take your stubborn fingers out of your ears from being scared of what could possibly be heard or what could possibly be spoken to you, because you know that whenever you're longing for change, you know that change is going to have to come. So you don't want to change. You don't want to change your behaviors. You don't want to stop this over here or stop that over there. And you don't want to cut off this relationship here. But guys, if all that you're surrounding yourself with is death, then all that you're ever going to feel is dead. You have to change in order to see change. So let's go back real quick here to Ezekiel. Now he's with thousands of corpses surrounding him that once were bones and now they're all bodies. And guys, I believe that it's personally probably going to take a lot more than just preaching a word to bring these bodies to life. So the second thing is through the Holy Spirit. Number one was through the Word. The last thing is through the Holy Spirit. In verse 9, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the messages as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. So how do I bring life to dead bones? Number one, willingness. Number two, believing and trusting. Number three, obedience. Number four, relying on the Holy Spirit. It was through Ezekiel's obedience and reliance to the Holy Spirit that he was used to bring life into dead bones. So here's the key. What is our responsibility? What should we do? What do we need to do? It's found here in Romans chapter 10 as well, but verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Guys, you must believe. You must listen. And you must speak to your dry bones.
We thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's message and hope it ministered to your heart. Please visit us online at griffinedge.org to stay current and up to date with all events. Have a blessed day.